Welcome to Spaghetti Launchers, a world-building podcast where you throw spaghetti at the wall and it is up to you with sticks. I am Kyle.
I am Ethan. On today's episode, we will be discussing fortresses, palaces, temples, castles, whatever you want to call them.
Fortresses
the place is what we're talking about. Where leadership dwells in your world. The seat of power.
Well, or just a place you defend.
That too.
That's usually, I think, when people talk about fortress, it's a defensible position that a leader probably dwells in, or a leader may move to dwell in.
See, that's how I always I always imagine it as like
the Helm's Deep.
Yeah, exactly.
The place you go when shit gets tough is like, well, move to the fortress and then you'll be safe.
Exactly. And there is this place. It is a seat of power. It is a inherently powerful position because it is either of strategic import or royal import in some way.
I think that's a good way of describing it. Yeah, strategic or political import.
Yeah,
I mentioned Helm's Deep, mm-hmm. maybe the most iconic of like modern fantastical fiction, just because it is also well displayed in the movie with like a big battle. Though it doesn't really happen like that in the books whatsoever. It is just like they move past it.
Yeah,
but it is very much a fortress because it is like, you don't live here. You just go here to do this thing. Yeah. It's just defend yourself.
Yeah.
Plenty of like real world cities. Have you ever been to Malta?
No.
Malta's kind of just one giant fort.
Yeah.
That the English were like, we need a fort for our crusades. And you go there and like there's just a fuck ton of little forts, but it's like the whole country is basically one big fort.
I dig that.
It's pretty cool. Also very small.
I've not been there. I have spent a fair chunk of time in the Middle East though, and there are fortresses everywhere.
Yeah,
there are fortresses everywhere, a lot in Europe too.
Yeah, and we have some here in the U.S. too. Fort Lauderdale.
Fuck yourself, Kyle. God damn it. Welcome to Spaghetti Launcher, starring Ethan and only Ethan.
Well, good luck editing it. Fort Worth.
Dallas.
Fort Knox. There's actual like army forts and stuff. Like there's that like actual like military bases or forts in
Area
the US.
51.
Yeah, yeah.
I think you would count that as a fort.
Yeah, like a defensible position. The military uses them as forts. And often, if it's named Fort whatever, because there was originally a fort there.
Right.
So, like, Fort Worth and Fort Lauderdale were probably originally forts of some kind.
Yep.
Of, like, probably 300 years ago or 200 years ago, but something.
I think the Death Star is a fort, too.
Hmm. Hot take?
Yeah, simmer on that one for a hot sec there, bro.
I like it. It's a good point. Yep. It's a super weapon. It's a mega structure.
Yep.
It's a fort.
It's a fort. It is defensible of political and or
strategic import. Yeah.
Just because it happens to be absurdly huge and the size of a small moon.
Yeah. I think that noodle is firmly on the wall.
Yeah. It's got a throne room.
It does have a throne room.
It does have a throne room.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it.
Well played.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. We all get it.
Yeah.
You get it.
We know what fortresses are.
You're smart.
Yeah. I wouldn't go that far.
But not you, the listener.
I wouldn't go that far. We love you. Kyle, give me your words. give me your words. Give me your best words, Kyle.
Surprise, motherfucker.
Oh, shit. All right. That was unexpected. You surprised me, motherfucker. But I'm not a motherfucker.
All right. What are your words?
Totem pole.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why don't you go first with totem pole?
You want me to go first?
Wow. Yeah, because mine will be a surprise.
Wow. All right.
I'm going to interrupt you at any point with mine.
Wow. Mine is really very simple. It is a fortress where instead of occupying the resources and simply just occupying the existing territory every time it has been conquered, instead the conquerors have actually fortified and then built a new stronghold physically on top of the existing fortress. So they use the existing fortress as a foundation and then continuously build on top of it. So every time there has been a successive war or takeover, and it doesn't have to be often, maybe there are only two layers or three layers, but the point is there is a tower forming, and each one is entirely different because it reflects a different culture, a different aesthetic, a different... Maybe it's powered by something different, right? Depending on who the conquering force was that took over that fortress. And so you sort of get this interesting dichotomy in the world where if you see these tall towering fortresses as physically imposing as they may be, that's a sign that maybe necessarily there's something inherently wrong about them because they are easily conquerable, or maybe they are that strategically important
that people keep attempting it.
Yeah, that they keep attempting it and they have no other choice in order. They are of such strategic significance that you cannot win a war in this world without that place.
Interesting.
And so from a gaming perspective, I think that's kind of cool because you enter in on one level and it's ancient. And instead of going, getting older, you know, typically it's like you get older the more you go down into a dungeon. Now you get newer and newer and newer as you go up.
Yeah.
As you're searching for the final BBEG, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And you get to explore different cultures, and it's a cool, interesting way to build in different...
To go through history in a linear fashion from, like, go to the beginning and then go through the history.
Go through the history all the way to the top. Yep.
I think that's cool. As you're saying that, going to the history part, I was thinking about that. There's like that spot in the middle where there's a large gap where nobody was able to take it down for a long time. And
ooh,
then
interesting.
And,
yeah.
And you get into that, like, why was that? And like really showing like this period was incredibly, there was a very powerful entity that controlled it. And then when they died away, then it changed hands like every couple of years for a long time. You get into those fun little dynasty elements of like, why was this thing? Because I think that question of why is it so tall?
Right.
Is it high turnover or is it like...
Does that mean that it is...
Yeah.
That it is militarily or strategically vulnerable, or is it that important, that
necessary?
And then
people will throw any resource at it to win.
Or right, exactly.
Yeah.
And you could even get at it, you know, let's say I'm using color palette, right? Let's say you have the blue society, the green society, the red society. I'm just making things up, right? So you go in, first level, it was originally built as a blue fortress.
Yeah.
Right? Then the next level up is green, and then maybe it's yellow, and then it's red, and then there's another level, but it's red again, and then it's red again, and it's not the same red. It's infighting within the Red Empire.
Yeah.
So sort of like the greens and the blacks. You know, you've got maybe they're... Well, that's a bad example because they're literally different colors and different houses. But let's say it was the Targaryens fighting each other.
Yeah.
Right. Then you've got maybe it's infighting between a family.
Mm-hmm.
Within the same royal house, so to speak.
Yeah.
And then you could also have something be really fun, depending on how tall you want it to go. You could have, you know, normal quote-unquote human or quote-unquote earthbound, like normal, stable world, normal world, weird fucking random alien world came out of nowhere. And suddenly you've got squid people walking around, and then normal world.
That's kind of funny, kind of weird. You're talking about it like if you are going up the fortress, the earlier parts shouldn't be filled with the denizens of that era. It's just built of that era.
Correct.
You go through the squid people section, and you're just like, well, there's no squid people here. It's just iconography of squid people.
Yeah.
Where you're like, oh, this is different.
Yeah, this is very strange. And maybe they left behind squid people weapons or like, you know, like you could do it like you would a dungeon, right?
Yeah.
It's the same principle. It's just basically a dungeon in reverse.
Yeah. Can these get tall enough that they fall?
Magic.
Mm. Yeah. What if
they fell?
What if one fell? Like where it's like a big of a catastrophic type of event where... Why did one of them just fall? Or maybe that was the way to take it down. It was like it became so defensible. It had been so frequently conquered that whoever, the last person to conquer it, was like, okay, here's what we do. And they built some new approach that they took to defending it. That it was like, okay, well, no one else can get through this one.
Right.
And then they were like, you know what we can do? Fucking topple the whole thing. And then just knocked it down. And then and I've quoted this before, but Foundation, the TV show, has an excellent scene with the space elevator falling. It's fucking incredible. Do that, where it just falls through the fields of wherever it is, or through like the nearby town, and just kills tons of people. And everyone was like, oh, maybe this is actually not worth having after all. And then it's just like a graveyard, this fortress, because nobody wanted it anymore.
Dead Empire.
It's a dead empire.
It's a dead empire. That's a foundation for your dead empire. That's a great story.
Please see it 2 weeks ago.
And the idea, if you want it to be, you start at the bottom and then build up. If you want it to be, you start at ground level and then dig down. Or like the point is that it is a fortress that
I think building up is necessary for this idea.
For this idea, yes. But the point is it's a fortress that is physically built on the foundations of the past.
Yeah.
That is the point where they are actively incorporating the past into their fortress. They are not wiping it out. They're not scorched earthing, right?
Like,
you could even do it where, okay, let's say the beginning fortress was a very small house, right? That's where someone lived who you know, defended their house, right? And instead of building up, you just started building out and out and out. So you could still have that same effect. It would just be out like the rings of a bullseye.
Yeah.
With those kind of layers instead of the vertical ones. It still gives you the same storytelling effect. Because you still get to go through the layers of history just in the opposite direction. But still kind of cool. That's the part I like of like you're actively building your fort on the bones of the past.
You made this point earlier, but I want to reiterate it, that from a storytelling perspective, like a DM, that this is a very powerful tool for, especially if it's your world, is to make the lore, the history of the world matter, because you get to actually put it out there. Because that's an annoying thing of like, oh, I created all this complex history. It's really cool. I really enjoy it, but it's kind of just like unnecessary. I don't want to throw it in the player's face. It's stupid and it doesn't add anything.
Right.
You're like, well, you're going through these totems.
Mm-hmm.
Here, there's actually a reason for it to make sense, where you can slowly dole that out with you're in this era now,
right?
And showcasing how important this is or whatever. Like, you get to just gives you an excuse to bring more history of your world into your world as it is now. And then you can still add all the other flavors of like what of why is there, the fact they're even doing it is world building, but then the history of it as well.
It would be visually similar to you're in a plane, you're in a building that looks like a reimagining of the Roman Colosseum, and then you go up a level and suddenly you're in the palace of Louis XIV. And suddenly you're like moving throughout history
in that
way, right? And this idea just occurred to me. It's a really cool, if you want to build, like, there's so much about world building that people like where it's about the history of the world, not necessarily the explicit mechanics of how this world exists and how the hell did the hobbits get enough water to survive in Mordor, that kind of thing. You're not so worried about the logistics. This is a setting where you don't have to go anywhere else. You can just stay in the fortress and go up and up and up and up and up. You don't have to go to other lands. You don't have to go to other...
So you're saying that I'm imagining it being not that big. You're thinking it's like a mega structure that you could spend, like, it's a mega dungeon.
I'm not saying it's a mega dungeon. Like, I'm not saying it has to be physically that large. I'm saying that if you as a world builder, or as a game, this is really more from a game design perspective, wanted your party, your players, to navigate history, but you didn't want to build different locations. You just wanted to build different versions of history, this is a great vehicle for that, because they can just go into the tower and work their way up, and they don't have to go to the east coast or the west coast
anything. Like, it simplifies some of that stuff for sure.
That's all that I mean. It's just it simplifies.
I think it's really cool. I'm playing around with in my head of the idea of like the intermittent eras where something weird happens that kind of breaks with the tradition. Where maybe there is some conquering force that doesn't build upon the fortresses and says, well, fuck that. We don't want to build up. We'll just reuse, we'll like repurpose some of the space. Much like, I think it's really funny that like Italy is what destroyed some of the ancient Roman stuff, not time.
Yeah.
Like Italy was like, well, we need the brick.
Right.
So they started taking it apart to repurpose it for other things. And you go to the Colosseum, it's like, well, it's only in disrepair because Italy fucked around with it.
Yeah.
Well, because there was nobody really in control of it for so long. Mm-hmm. And now they're trying to resolve that. But having it be where there was some kingdom at some point starts conquering shit and it just says, well, we're not going to waste our money rebuilding stuff. Building new stuff. Let's just refurbish what's already here. So they go to the ancient section because it's like, well, this is convenient. It's right on the ground floor. It's cheap. What to get to this section and work on it. We can get we can get resources in here fast. Just like puts up new stuff.
Yeah.
So you get like a mix of the old and the new, but only in the ones that they conquered. So you can go to you can go to one of these fortresses and see that it was conquered by this kingdom because the ground floor has been somewhat refurbished.
Yeah.
And then you go into other ones, you're like, oh, the ground floor is ancient.
Right.
This was never
conquered. Or just decrepit and totally stripped bare.
Yeah.
And you can read it. It gives you clue. It's reverse archaeology,
yeah,
basically.
And making it a bit more, and it might be more fun if that kingdom just happened.
Yeah, so, it doesn't have to be ancient explicitly. It can be within.
No, I'm saying so like it's the kingdom that like they conquered it 20 years ago. So it's not like it is so new.
Yeah.
Like it's actually just still usable. It's not even like, oh, well, there was the reset in the Renaissance where it's like
yep.
Oh, you know, they destroyed these 10,000 BC items in 1,500 years or whatever. It was like, no. It's like, this is 15 years ago,
right.
that they came in and were like, fuck it, get rid of it. So it's still recent enough where you can really reap the rewards and recent enough to be like, well, that's kind of stupid.
Yeah. You could also have a sort of like, you remember back in the 90s when every candy would do like the mystery flavor?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
So
very
you could,
jelly beanie.
Yeah. Something like that. So you could have like the mystery level where you open, the trap door and it is just an empty level, like there's no walls.
Yeah,
you're just out. You're pretty high up. You know, 3-4 levels maybe at this point. You're just overlooking it all. Nothing's there, but then floating magically above you is the rest of the building. So it's sort of like suspended.
Yeah,
like there's a middle empty mystery layer. Like what happened at this layer? How is this floating? What the hell's going on?
That's cool. I like that. And rather than like, it isn't a mystery in that like it can be anything. In that its mystery is something very magical happened during this phase of history.
Yeah.
And maybe it's like a blip where nobody knows what happened.
Right.
And this exists in a lot of these fortresses. But there's no other records of who the fuck was that did that.
Yeah.
Nobody knows.
Yeah.
And then it can be like the grand mystery of a campaign or a story.
Yeah. Sort of like the urban legend of the 13th floor in a hotel.
Yeah.
Right. Like, but maybe it's only one tower that has it missing, or maybe it's different level. You know, I don't know.
I think it should be all of them. I think
I think it should be
every single tower has this mystery floor so that everyone's like, somebody clearly came in, conquered the whole world, and then fucked off really quickly, and there's no record of any of this.
Right.
And like in the like written record, like oral history, like any other there's no archaeological evidence of them other than this floor at all these towers, and we don't know why.
It's just like erased from existence, and then again magically they somehow just started, and they couldn't build there, so they just somehow magically started building a layer above.
Yeah. And then you create a great opportunity for like the introduction of some like new like Deus Ex Machina-esque like, oh, actually here's a sci-fi thing coming in out of nowhere. Actually, here's the all-powerful deities who froze the world for like 3 years so that they could just do a bunch of like tinkering, and then they left, and they built these layers, whatever it is.
Yeah. So yeah, there's a lot of ways you could go with it, but yeah, reverse archaeology, totem pole, upside down dungeon, whatever you want to call it. I'm sticking with totem pole. Layer cake could be another great way of doing it. But yeah, that's my idea. What about you? Tell me about surprise, motherfucker.
Have you ever heard the story of the Massacre of the Mud?
The one that was led by the Muffin Man?
That exact one. Now, okay. There was an army that tried to attack a town, but no one knows which one. There was a small little fortress in the middle of the town. And they were like, oh, easy prey. We'll take them down. It was rainy season, so it was very muddy everywhere. Mm. When they went to go lay siege to the town, take it over, they thought it'd be a cakewalk. Their army quickly got up close, and then just like that, walls came up from behind them out of the mud and pinned them in. And on those walls were a bunch of extra fortifications that turned on them and destroyed the entire army that was now perfectly surrounded.
Say more.
Since then, they've done a good job of making sure nobody knows exactly which town this was, which city this was, what fortress this was. But they've sent quite the strong signal to any invading force that you should probably be careful, because you never know if there's a fortification that you don't actually know exists. and might split your forces or surround you. This is similar to what happened in Caesar's conquering of Gaul, the Battle of Alesia. Similar, but that happened where they split the Gaul forces into with two fortifications. But this happens instantly, and it's a stone wall emerging from the ground. So it's it's almost it's like when you're it's dropping a portcullis on a group who's who's laying siege. It's the trash compactor in a way in Star Wars.
It's like a guillotine.
Yeah, but it's a slow moving guillotine for a whole army, because the second it starts going up, you don't because it also signals you don't know what other fortifications are between this wall and that center point.
You don't
point.
Know how many walls there are.
Okay. Well, and you don't know what kind of traps there are, what kind of anything there is. And the main point I had was thinking about a... I got to this originally by saying if an entire town, like, or the surrounding countryside was secretly, like, a part of the fort.
Yeah.
And I was thinking more of like, oh, well, the peasant farmers are actually well-trained soldiers who will, like, band together and fuck you up because you've, like, now you might have a bunch of gorillas behind your lines.
Guerrilla warriors, not actual gorillas.
Yeah. Something to that effect. And I was like, well, what if it's just a full-on fortification comes up and it's actually, the fortress is secretly huge.
Yeah.
Because the outer wall you don't know exists, and it's, and they've, like, perfectly through magic been able to, and through just, like, raw, like, hiding it with like mud and leaves and whatever, and like they've been able to disguise that there is something there that you are walking over a threshold and you don't know.
So super in love. Couple of,
I hope so, you're married.
Couple of walls. Couple of random fire thoughts here. Number one, this works best, I think, in a magic free and or low magic setting.
Yes.
Because if you're in D&D terms,
it shocks people.
It shocks people. And, you know, suddenly you get druids casting Wall of Stone. Everyone's doing this.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. This is for like a low magic story.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Because it implies that is a good enough defense to stop you.
Yep.
And so, like, the magic that's involved is a bit more like, and you don't even need to have magic. It could just be raw engineering.
Yeah.
And that could be
what's
impressive.
I think that's almost more impressive.
I think it's more impressive, but I was like just saying, if you want a hand wave, you could just say it's magic, but you could also just say it's raw engineering, and that this little town maybe is famous for having good little tinkerers and engineers.
Yeah.
Or that's a secret trade.
Yeah.
That they are hiding, like they are trying to hide their potency as a people, where like they're just like, oh yeah, we're just farmers and like some regular old tradesmen, nothing special, but it's like, oh, but secretly we're master engineers.
You could even make it perfectly built into the world and have it be they figured out, oh, we figured out some chemical interaction between these two foreign elements that are foreign to our real world but exist in their world, where, oh, suddenly crystal grows if you mix these two different types of powder together, and they figured that out. Like, you could, it's very easy. It's, and to make it unique to that world. I like the mud, though. I'm going to come back to the mud in a second.
Okay.
Second random thought. This also reminds me a lot of, we just saw the Dune movie, of how the Fremen hide in the sand.
Oh, they do it way more. Like, they never showed them getting in the sand, but I wanted to see
how. I want to see how they get in the sand. It's so cool.
They were just like perfectly in the sand. And the sand was like undisturbed. And I was like, how'd you do that?
I don't know how they did that, but it's super cool. I love that. And then they just waited for the soldiers to
be like right above them, and then they
or walk past them, and then they popped up and stab.
Yeah.
That was really cool. Reminds me of that. Also reminds me of Genghis Khan, who famously invented the battle tactic of draw back.
Yeah.
Like, withdraw until your enemies break, basically they break formation, and then you attack and surge again.
Yeah.
And I like that. Third thing, in this world, you said rainy season.
Yeah.
There is no warfare during rainy season.
Yeah, because nobody wants to.
Because nobody knows. Everyone's afraid it could be them. Nobody wants to get massacred in the mud.
And everybody, it could be that it's, trying to figure out the explanation for that specific, because is it that people now, it's like an ill omen.
Yeah.
Not that they think that the mud is necessarily connected to, they know the fortress or the fortifications exist regardless of the mud.
Yeah.
But there's this phobia. Superstition.
Yeah.
Superstition that like you can maybe see it better if it wasn't muddy. That like that the mess of that creates an opportunity to make mistakes, like being caught off.
Yeah.
Being caught inside of this. But alternatively, and this is why I said that no one knows what town it is nobody lays siege to any town anymore. Because you can't, because you can't quite trust. So now people, like all warfare is handled very differently, where it's like in the open or it's like Trojan horsey.
Yeah.
Where you need to get in there without any, like you can't bring
ninjas.
You can't bring a full army to the doorstep of any city or any fortress or anywhere, because you also don't know how many people have this set up.
Ninjas.
Because it's happened at least once and that's good enough, but maybe it happened a bunch of times and now it just became this like the legend of the massacre and the mud, shut the fuck up. Or is it like it was happening repeatedly and that's why this legend has been passed down?
See, I think either it needs to be of such a significant, when we say massacre, like this needs to be a bloodbath.
Yes,
like this
thousands.
Like an utter, like a full destruction of a people, not a single survivor, maybe one survivor, right? Like it had to be that shell shocky.
Yeah.
Or it had to be happening enough times and maybe even in different places, because if, like you said, maybe it's the fortification is built by separate towns, but they're separate towns that have secretly formed an allegiance.
Mm, interesting.
So that it is still technically like one network of fortification.
Yeah.
But they all work together so that, yes, oh, there was a massacre over here. Oh, and then there was another one over here. And you don't know exactly where it's coming from, but you know that offending soldiers are getting massacred.
Yeah.
Very often in the mud. And I like that the mud acts as a, like, it's easier to
associate. Hide it. Yeah, to hide it.
Yeah. Because then you could also get all kinds of cool sayings like, don't fight in the mud, don't raid in the rain, keep your boots clean, something like that, right? Like, there are lots of, like, little military sayings that you could come up with to feed into that folklore and superstition.
I've made it clear a couple times that I've been reading Joe Abercrombie's First Law trilogy.
Yeah.
And, the Northmen of that world say to someone who dies, back to the mud. And they're like a very simple, also just a great trilogy. So anyway, yeah, I think that's that on that idea. We could probably move on to speed round?
Lightning round.
Okay, that was lightning.
That was lightning.
I thought it was Gollum. You know, listen, when you listen back to this episode, you'll be able to...
Okay, Trixie Force.
Okay. Sure.
Stupid fat hobbit. It ruins it.
That was good, dude.
Thanks, man.
The whole world's going to be able to hear that now. Aren't you proud? Your parents should be proud.
No.
I'll give you a gold star.
Thanks, man.
An Oscar?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay, cool.
I don't need Anthony Al Pacino yelling at me.
He wasn't yelling at anybody. He was fucking up the ending.
Just weird.
It was incredible. Yeah. All right, so lightning round. 1 minute. Go.
Giant bird people building a fortress in the shape of a giant nest, but instead of like twigs and branches and things, it is made up of entire trees and full like shrubberies and maybe entire houses are
just like a giant objects.
Yeah, just like giant boulders. Objects. I mean, but that might be, you could do boulders. It might be a bit hard, but like, and I'm not saying they have to be like giant, like 300 feet
but
tall,
just like,
but like
full things.
Yeah, like full size things. I think that'd be kind of fun and also very cool. So yeah, that's the fortress, is the giant, like the giant nest made out of giant shit.
Cool. All right, mine is, you have a flagship in the sea that is like a fortress ship.
Yeah.
That
I love fortress ships.
That crashes, and it is
marooned.
It is marooned, and it is, they're trying to fix it because now there's like a gaping hole in the hull, and this fortress on the sea is no longer really effective at its job, but they're then defending it because they are a giant fortress in the sea on an island, and they have to defend this thing because it's like it's very vulnerable and people want it. Like people want to take this down. This is like a big enemy. So they have to hide the fact that they're there, and they have to repair it at the same time. And it's going to take a long time to fix the hull damage, and they can't abandon it because it is too valuable to abandon. So you have like a whole fortress worth of people just sitting there trying to hold this one position that is locked in place, but it's not supposed to be.
Gilligan, the skipper too, millionaire, his wife, the movie star.
Yeah.
Did it crash after a 3-hour tour, a military tour?
No, it crashed after being at sea for months. Maybe it was that they pissed off a god, and the god forced them to crash.
Maybe.
Maybe the god like struck them with lightning. I don't know.
Maybe, it doesn't have to be a god. Just do like, giant sea creature.
Yeah, anything. It doesn't matter.
Kraken. Kraken is great, man.
Lightning round. It doesn't matter. Moving on.
We're on.
Well, that's lightning round. So what's stuck for you?
Gonna toot my own horn on this one. I really dig the mystery floating erased layer of the tower building. Like, I love that aesthetic of like floating towers that are not connected to the base. I think that's just a cool aesthetic. It was literally the only good thing about Rebel Moon was that one shot of that one like standing obelisk. That was
false.
Like,
there were a couple good moments that we watched it together not that long ago, and we have plenty of thoughts. Let me rephrase. Movie.
That was my favorite moment.
Okay,
because the very very minor cool moment.
Yeah, remember the shot where the ship came in to Orc, like
that was a good was
like,
shot.
And we're like, that's a good fucking
that's
shot.
That's a good shot.
That was a good shot.
The sword thing was cool. It was criminally underused and not explained. When I Googled it and read about it, I found out it was a cool idea.
Yeah, not a good movie.
Not a so bad. So that's probably what stuck for me was like, I think the mystery layer is really fun. I think it's really cool. I think it fits in the world. It creates it's a great story hook. It's a great visual hook. I think it just checks all the boxes.
Okay.
What about you? What stuck for you?
I'm going to toot my horn and say that I love the massacre in the mud.
Yeah.
Not because I think it's like such a great concept, but I think because it creates such a good legend for a world, and I love the idea of the history that both of these ideas created a lot of cool history ideas to throw into your world, and so like that's what I like out of this episode was like we had good ideas of why these fortresses are and like what is the story being told generations on,
right?
And I like the idea that there is some mythical battle where everyone was just destroyed and nobody knows where that happened or why it happened, and like there's this fear that the secrecy is keeping everybody at bay. So that's what stuck for us. Let us know what stuck for you. Emails in the show notes.
Thanks for listening. Goodbye.